Let me see. A gummy worm worthy. You have an answer? Wow. I can't wait. Okay, yeah, tell me. What's the answer?
Three.
No, that's not right.
That's
not right.
He messed with
shrimp. David, I'm going to give you a gummy worm. This isn't because I feel bad. This is because you. This is because I saw you over there, and you were very. You were having. I was just proud of you. Cass, you were doing really well back there too. Here's a gummy worm. Yep. Oh, please, please, please. Ooh, that was a dot. All right. You want another one?
No.
Okay. Yeah. Soon. Yeah. Well, did you do anything worthy of getting a gummy worm?
Worship.
Raise your hand. Raise your hand for me. What book of the Bible are we in? Book of the Bible. Danny. Luke. Sorry, Taylor. Almost hit you on the head. All right. Who remembers? What part of Luke? What are we going over in Luke? Caleb, you can sit down. Yes, Caleb.
Jesus, like, preaching in the plain.
Oh, yeah, we do. Yeah, okay. We just did that. We just did. Bad throw. My bad. Yes, we did. Where Jesus was teaching on a plain. And really what we're doing is Jesus teaching, but now we're not looking at Jesus teaching on the plane anymore, but now we're looking at Jesus teaching in a specific way that he's teaching. Yeah, Matthias.
Parables?
Yes, okay. Parables. And we're not just at parables, but we're looking even more broadly at, wait, were you going to say something?
Oh, I was going to say feeding the 5,000.
Feeding the 5,000. Ah, man. Yeah, you would have been wrong. Good thing you didn't answer. Yes, Devin?
Actions?
Not actions? Parables are a type of this, but Jesus is using, yeah, whisper to him.
Stories,
yes, good job. Stories, well, once you answer, Jesus is using stories. Okay, hey, that's about to be minus one. Jesus is using stories. So last week, okay, who remembers, what story did we look at last week? I don't remember. Story? It was a parable last week. Story or parable? I'm gonna give other people a second just in case they remember. Where were we? Jesus came down from a plane. He was teaching. Yeah. Or to the plane.
The Good Samaritan.
The Good Samaritan. You already got a gummy worm. I want to give him a chance. All right. There's more chance for gummy worms in a second. But yes, last week we were talking about the Good Samaritan. This week Jesus is going to use a couple smaller stories. Jesus is going to use a couple smaller stories to emphasize this main point, okay? This is the main point. God is taking care of you. Anyone remember what the main point is? What's the main point? Yes, Devin.
Samuel, what?
No, I just said it.
Jesus is taking care of you?
Oh, my goodness. That's it. That's it. That was it. God is taking care of you. Devin, look alive. Good. Yes, Matthias? Yes, that was last week, right? Yeah, thank you. Matthias, I'll give you gum worm. All right. Gummy worms are going to close for a while. They're going to be back out in a little bit. Oh, did you have an answer? Okay. Okay. Sorry, I thought you were trying to get a gummy worm. Main point today. God, like Devin said, God is taking care of you. That's the point that Jesus is trying to emphasize today, using a couple smaller stories. Oh, my bad. We're going to be in Luke chapter 12. Verses 22 through 34. Luke 12, 22 through 34. Let me read this passage. Does anyone ever feel anxious here or stressed out? Raise your hand if you feel anxious or stressed out. If you've ever felt anxious or stressed out. If you've ever felt anxious or stressed out.
Yes.
Good. Pretty much everyone. Well, then listen to these words that Jesus has for us today, okay? Here Jesus is. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat, or about the body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They don't sow or reap. They don't have a storeroom or a barn, yet God feeds them. Aren't you worth much more than the birds? Can any of you add one moment to his lifespan by worrying? If then you're not able to do even a little thing, why worry about the rest?" Consider how the wildflowers grow. They don't labor or spin thread. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass, which is in the field today and is thrown into the furnace tomorrow, how much more will God do for you, you of little faith? Little faith, we're talking about that today. Don't strive for what you should eat and what you should drink, and don't be anxious. For the Gentile world eagerly seeks all these things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be provided for you. Don't be afraid, little flock, because your Father delights to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Make money bags for yourselves that won't grow old, an inexhaustible treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let me pray again. God, would you just help us to listen? Even now, would you settle our hearts and help us to listen? Would you give us eyes that see, ears that hear? Would you help us even just to taste and see that you are good? God, would we know that you're with us and that you take care of us? In Jesus' name, amen. All right, this sentence, right? This main point that we're going to focus on today, that God is taking care of you. That's kind of a hard thing to believe. It's kind of difficult to actually believe. Why? Okay, why is that hard to believe? Because things in our lives and in our world don't always make it seem like God is taking care of us, right? So there's so many things that make it hard to believe that God is actually taking care of us. You know, some things from my own life. One thing, when I was younger, when I was in fifth grade, it was the worst. I had asthma. And every day at school, there's a period of time where every day at school, I would go to the nurse. I'd talk to my teacher, and I'd go to the nurse, and I'd have the nurse call my mom to bring my inhaler in. And it was like, it was the worst. It was the worst, like not knowing like if it was going to get worse and if I could breathe. And it was like, and I just remember feeling so sad and so defeated because there's nothing I could really do. And part of it was probably mental too. And it was like, when I didn't think I could breathe, then I probably, or when I couldn't breathe, then I didn't think that I could breathe even more. And it was just like a spiral, and it was terrible. And it was hard to believe at times that God was actually there taking care of me in those moments. But it wasn't just that. Probably all of us, we've all dealt with COVID and how COVID has disrupted our world, right? When I was in college when COVID really came around, and I had to go home early for my semester, and I had to go home to be at home. And I like being home here, but I was having probably one of the best semesters of my life, one of the best times of my life, and I had to go home, and my whole life was disrupted. And I came home, and I didn't get to see my friends, and I didn't really know what to do. We were all just sitting at home. Like, COVID really disrupted our lives in our world. And I think if we think about it, like, it makes us think, like, is God really taking care of our world? Like, why would COVID happen if God's really taking care of our world, right? It changed everything. But also, when I was in high school, I played soccer. And all throughout my life, I played soccer. And eventually, I got to this point where in high school, I had a really bad experience with this one coach who was just mean. And he didn't really seem like he actually cared about us. And he was just tough and mean and would never say anything encouraging to us, but just always be discouraging to us. And I got to a point where I was like, do I even want to do this anymore? And soccer was my life. And at that point, I was like, why would God put me in the position where, like, I have to decide between not doing what I love and playing soccer or not playing anymore? Like, does God really care about what's going on? Is God really taking care of me? But then even just last week, you know, Cass is having a baby. But when you have a baby and you got a lot of doctor's appointments to go to, sometimes those come with expensive bills. And we got an expensive bill last week, and it was like, okay, we can pay this one, but if we're going to keep getting these, like, what's going to happen? You know, and at some point, it's like, is God really, there's a lot of things that happen, I bet, in all of our lives that we're like, is God really taking care of us? Is God really taking care of us? Things make it hard to believe that God is always taking care of us. And Jesus says here, how does Jesus open up these words? Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life. Jesus lays it plain for you. Don't worry about your life. And this thing that Jesus says, it seems impossible, right? Listening to this passage isn't automatically going to bring us from a place of not worry, from worrying to not worrying, just from listening to the words here. But I think Jesus does lay out some things in a couple of the little stories he tells here that will equip us, hopefully, to face worry, to prepare for worry. And I think he equips us a little bit in the stories that he shares here, okay? We're just going to focus on these two little stories that Jesus shares that are kind of connected. One is about birds, okay? Jesus talks about these birds in the sky. He says the birds, they don't reap or they don't sow. So these birds, they don't work. Okay, they just fly. They don't store up food for themselves in barns for doomsday, for when all the food runs out. But God takes care of them. God takes care of these birds. They don't work, they grow. I mean, they don't work, they don't store up food for themselves. But God takes care of them. God feeds them. And then Jesus tells a story about these flowers, okay? The flowers don't work. They just grow, and then actually they just die. Flowers probably have a relatively short lifespan, a lot of flowers, and grass even, right? It grows, and then it dies, and they don't do much. They just grow, and they die, and they're delicate. But yet God clothes the flowers. God takes care of the flowers and of the grass. And does anyone know who Solomon is in the Bible? Oh, Caleb.
He was like a king.
He was like a king. Not only was he like a king, he was a king. Oh, nice. Cool. Yes. No, I knew what you meant. I was just Solomon. And not only was Solomon just a king, but he was known for his extravagance, for his wisdom at times, but also for his riches. Solomon was known for how much he had, how much riches he had. And Jesus says here that not even Solomon, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was adorned like one of these flowers. God takes care of the flowers just as much as this man who the world looked to as one of probably the richest men, the most accomplished men, extravagant men of the time. And God takes care of the flowers just as much as God takes care of Solomon. And you know, just even more than God takes care of the flowers, Jesus says that God takes care of you. Even more so does God take care of you. Even more so than God takes care of the birds and the flowers who don't work, who don't have anything to really offer God, who don't store up food for themselves, who don't plan for the worst, God takes care of them. And even more so, Jesus says, God takes care of you. And so how do these stories help us prepare for worry and help us face worry? Okay? You might be thinking that, right? It's good to know that God takes care of us, like he takes care of the birds and the flowers. But I think Jesus shares these stories because he wants to equip us in this way. I think Jesus is calling us to actually remember and meditate on all of the ways that God has taken care of us. To remember and meditate and think about the ways that God has taken care of us. Not just personally in our lives, but we can look at creation, right? We can look at the birds. We can look at the flowers. We can look outside now at how God is growing new life in the trees as spring approaches. We can look at that and see how God has taken care of that. And we can be reminded that God even more so is taking care of us. Even as I just think about the universe I was looking up at the stars last week, and for the first time, I was like really captivated. Like I've been like, oh, stars are cool. But I looked out and I was like, wow, like we are just like on a planet in the midst of a grand, great universe. And yet God has taken care of us on this planet. Like we can live here. The fact that we even have life on this planet, I think points to the fact that God is taking care of us, that we are alive right now. God is taking care of us. We can look around at creation and know that God is taking care of us. But also we can reflect and look back at our lives at the times that God has brought us through. You know, those times that I shared before, right? As I shared about soccer and having to leave soccer. That was a really difficult time in my life. And it seems kind of like now that I'm older, I'm like, why was I so worried about that? But I think that's because now I have perspective and I can look back and see all the ways that God actually brought me through that time. The ways that God took care of me during that time. The way that God actually used that time to grow me and shape me into who I am today. And I can look back at the time facing asthma. Actually, it was kind of scary because I went to the doctor when I had asthma. I was like going to a pulmonologist, and the guy was like, yeah, or the pulmonologist was like, yeah, it'll probably go away in a couple years, but then it'll come back in an asthma attack, like when he's like 16 or 17 years old. So then I'm just like dreading turning 16 and 17 years old because I'm like just waiting for this asthma attack to return. And it never returned. It never came back. I mean, And I think just even looking back on that, just seeing the ways that God has taken care of me in that way, in the midst of that fear and bringing me through that, I can look back and reflect on the ways that God has taken care of me. I can look back at times in my life when there were other expensive things that I had to pay and how I had to, and opportunities that I had to be generous and had to decide, am I going to give this or keep it for myself? And in the ways, in those moments when I decided to be generous or when I had to pay those big bills, where God has actually taken care of me and continued to take care of me and continued to grow me and transform me. So I think Jesus is equipping us by actually sharing these stories and saying, look at creation. Look at all the stories around you. Look at your own story and meditate and think about all the ways that I've taken care of you, that I am taking care of you. And just know that I will continue to take care of you. I think not only does Jesus asking us to remember and meditate and think about all the ways that God has taken care of us, but I think these stories also set our priorities straight in a sense, okay? I think a lot of the time the things that worry us, the things that we worry about, aren't really things that matter in God's kingdom. Not to say they don't matter to God, that God doesn't care about what we care about, but the things that we often worry about and are worried about, I think aren't eternal things, aren't things that matter ultimately in God's kingdom, like money and power and status and possessions, right? The birds and flowers in the story that Jesus shares, they're not occupied with collecting possessions or even food or storing up for themselves things or about their status. They're just going about the life that God created them for, and God takes care of them. They're not worried about those things. But I think often the things that we are worried about are things that don't ultimately matter in God's kingdom, like money and power and success and status and possessions. And in verse 32, Jesus says this really amazing thing. This thing that I think I want us all to hear. I need to hear it too. Jesus says this: Your father delights to give you the kingdom. God's delight is to give you the kingdom. And then in verse 34, a couple verses later, Jesus says this. He's talking about the kingdom. He's talking about storing up your possessions where no thief comes in and no moth destroys. And then he says this: for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I think our worries often come from our own kingdoms, from the kingdoms that we're trying to build. And these kingdoms won't last, and I think that's why they worry us, because we know that we're trying to build up something that doesn't have a solid foundation, that could be swept out from underneath us in a millisecond. And I think what Jesus is calling us to, it's a call from Jesus to come and not work for or earn the kingdom of God, but to inherit the kingdom of God as a gift, the kingdom that God, your Father, our Father, delights to give to us, and a kingdom that will not be overcome, a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Your heart is going to be constantly overwhelmed with worry and stress and anxiety if you're trying to keep up with a kingdom that is falling and failing. But Jesus actually invites us into a kingdom that cannot be shaken, that cannot be overcome, that is a firm foundation. And the Father delights to give you the kingdom, to invite you into it as a gift, not as something you can earn, but as a gift. So let's make a habit of meditating on this kingdom, and on the ways that God has taken care of us, the ways that we see in the world that God has taken care of the world and in us. Let's make a habit of meditating and thinking about those things and repeating those things to ourselves and to those around us of how God has taken care of us. But let's also examine our priorities as well, right? For Jesus says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where is your treasure? What are your priorities? Because that's probably where your heart is as well. So here's what we're going to do. We're just going to spend 5 minutes. Sean, would you put the next questions on the screen? Let's just spend 5 minutes right there. Let's spend 5 minutes just in silence, just thinking about these questions. How has God taken care of you? Think about that. How have you seen God take care of you or those around you? How have you seen God take care of the world? Think about all the ways. List all the ways in your head. Pray. Thank God for those ways. And then also spend a couple minutes examining your treasure. Right? How does your treasure, how does what you prioritize actually say about where your treasure is and what you, and how does that give way to worry in your life? Are there things that you're worried about that don't ultimately matter in the kingdom of God? Does this treasure have a place in God's kingdom? So let's just take about four or five minutes, just thinking about these questions in silence. And after 4 or 5 minutes, I'll pray. And feel free to pray during that time and as you think about these things. Then I'll pray and we'll be dismissed.
Yeah.
Let me pray. God, there are so many ways that you take care of us, us individually, but also us collectively as people just in this world. Would you help us just to continue to have eyes that see and reflect on those ways, that meditate on them, and that share them with others as well? And God, would you also help us to be a people who examine our own hearts and our own treasure? Would you help us to store up treasure that will not be destroyed, but true treasure that is in your kingdom? Would you show us what that is? Would you help us to hold a loose hand on what matters to us and follow your lead in loving others and laying our lives down for those around us? God, we thank you that you came to this earth and laid your life down for us, not just to teach us and not just to show us, but to truly give us life, to bring about new life in us. Would you help us to find this and continue to discover this new life and to live in it and live into it, in your presence and with you beside us and with your Spirit living inside of us? Would you change us and transform us and grow us? We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.